Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is the Dale and Keith Show.
Caught for the touchdown. Edelman.
Win by 100.
The Patriots set an NFL record with the most regular season wins in a decade with their win today.
This is what I would have did.
Dale Arnold.
With Antonio Brown firing off the latest round of tweets and including Robert Kraft in them.
Boom. Lawsuit.
I'm told they are not at this point expected to pay him, so expect a legal battle.
He appears to be a turd.
Rich Key.
What was the final straw with Antonio Brown?
Yeah, we're focused on the Jets today.
Thank you, Coach.
It's in the Scorpion's nature to kill regardless of his circumstances.
He played for Stuttgart Scorpions last year.
It's in my nature.
Dale and Keith, middays.
I'm pit here.
On the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
I've got to check down the hall because I'm not yet sure if Jared Stidham and Gunnar Olszewski have been cut yet today. It's possible.
They can't be feeling very good about it. They cost them a shutout. I wanted another shutout. I'm getting greedy. This is a great defense.
Do we hang it on? Well, the defense still hasn't given up a touchdown.
Nope, they allowed 14 points. The team game, Dale. Everybody knows
I'm hanging it on. The defense hasn't given up any points
14
yet.
Points they allowed. Thanks a lot, Gunnar. Thanks a lot, Stidham. The Patriots don't cover.
Right.
Because of those two idiots.
Like, really?
That was frustrating.
It's a flat route.
How about this, too?
Just throw the ball in his chest to Bolden.
How about they do exactly what we said last week? Greg Williams is a bit of a nut. You know, Jamal Adams is a bit of a nut. You don't know what they're going to do. Get Brady the hell out of there.
They do it. Right. With like nine minutes to go.
And then Stidham throws the pick six, and it's like, okay, Tom.
He did complete one nice pass. He said, hey, look at this guy.
Well, it was
pretty sharp.
It was
nice, sharp. You got some zip on the ball, didn't
he? Right. Come the other way.
Yeah.
And this is Jamal Adams.
Come on.
With a block and a pick six.
Sit down. Get out of here.
The next route, it was just.
I knew he was done.
Bolded into the flat route. It wasn't like it was a hard pass, wide open. Just give him the ball.
No, he airmailed him. Oh, first of all, you don't want to be throwing passes to Brandon Bolden. That's not the greatest.
Well, they started the game with that.
That was a bit of a problem. But then, he sails it and then he's out. And it's funny. They had started to talk about this story from 2007 because Matt Castle's back. He's doing stuff at NBC Boston. And one of the games where the Patriots were destroying some team, I forget which one it was. Was it the Dolphins, John? Yeah, so they were playing the Dolphins. They were smoking the Dolphins. So Brady comes out. Matt Castle comes in, throws a pick six. Next thing you know, Brady's back in the game.
Right. Tom. Hey, Tom.
So
as soon as
Stidham did that, I'm like, oh, we're going to see Brady again.
It looked so weird with Tom on the sidelines holding his helmet.
Oh, it was awful.
I was just like, this is not good. It's like,
and he always looks
strange.
Mad.
But I did like it. I was, because I said, I've changed my tune. In 07, I said he can stay out there the whole time. But with the offensive line, even though Cannon was back, and that's great, you're still saying, all right, let's see how these guys do. You got a new left tackle. You're up by, 30 points or whatever it is. You can take Brady out. I'm okay with that now. I know he will never be okay with it.
Yeah, but it ruins your shutout.
It did. Well, I didn't count on the pick six. Well, then Gunner screwed him.
Right, Gunner did screw him.
You got to catch the punt. And the other thing is,
he's been so good back there.
He has been great back there.
He also gets killed.
Oh, he does
get
killed.
He gets killed.
Oh, he's not going to last, is
he? No, not at all. He's not going to be there week eight.
He gets demolished.
He gets crushed, and he gets like a yard. And you're like, what, was that worth it? Just fair catch it, son.
Don't be afraid, Doug. Well, run out of bounds.
Especially when you're up by 30 or whenever it was. You're up by 30. They're not. They don't need you to rip off a 10, 20-yard gain. Just catch the ball, flip it to the official,
go down.
And stand there until they have to punt again.
Do the Julian Edelman dive. How he always dives forward and it's like.
No, he puts his body on the line, all 145 pounds of him.
And like he's dropping his shoulder. You're going against linebackers.
I'm like, stop it, Gunner.
I give him credit. He's tough as nails.
Olszewski and a muff.
He muffed it. I think he would have been cut if Edelman didn't get hurt. Because Edelman may have to miss the game, with the rib, and you're going to want some, little guy to run some of the slot plays.
No, I don't think he would have been cut because he's been so good back there. Like, it wouldn't have been one of those situations where if he hadn't been good back there.
Yeah.
I think he's been so good that, all right,
he gets one?
Yeah, we'll give
everybody gets one.
You get one of these, okay. You know what I mean? Right. It's like, this is
can't get two, though.
No. But this is something that we haven't seen from him all preseason and all through.
No, that's true. He's been good.
So I think they kind of look at it.
But he barely made the team as it was. In fact, right. He got cut and then got brought back.
Right. It doesn't help, especially, you know, it's one thing to muff the punt and then defense come out there and you shut them down.
They
it's another thing
it.
To muff the punt and they turn it into a touchdown.
Right. And like they don't allow touchdowns. And the Patriots just don't allow touchdowns. Well,
they do.
The now, defense don't allow touchdowns.
Let's also temper it, okay? Because
they haven't played Murderers Row
yet. Oh, my God. They have played two of the worst football teams you will ever see.
They haven't played a team with a win yet. Think about that.
Well, they played the Dolphins. That's true.
They have not played a team with a win yet. They played three 0-3 teams.
That is very true. Well, they did say they have the schedule in the NFL.
And at least the first 0-3 team had you thought a legitimate quarterback playing.
When you played them.
When you played them. Yeah. Now it's like, oh, my God. I mean, even googly eyes Adam Gase was all pissed off after the game.
Crazy eyes. He doesn't know what's up and what's down. He's going to be gone in another year or so. But you think about it.
They went down by 30, and he's running draws.
Think about it. The team that they played week one now is onto their backup quarterback, you know, due to injury. Mm-hmm. The team that they played week two is now onto their backup quarterback because the first one sucked. And the team that they played week three was onto their third string quarterback because one guy's out there making out with Manhattan, and then the other guy broke his ankle or whatever it was.
Right. Now, we don't know that he made out with everyone.
I would have to assume,
maybe
Dale,
not everybody
that it wouldn't
in
just
Manhattan.
Be one person.
At least lower Manhattan.
He likes to party.
He
guy.
Does like to party.
That's my guess. Yeah, he's out there smooching everybody.
Well, they do got the 3-0 Buffalo Bills.
That's
should be
true.
A huge
so things
test.
Are going to turn around. They got the undefeated Buffalo Bills who needed to storm a monster comeback to beat the Bengals.
This is for the AFC East.
This is it. The winner of this game is going to win the division.
That's
you feel good about that? They're going to have a leg up.
They're going to decide the AFC East in this
is.
Game here.
Yeah, right? I think it is the winner of this game.
Yeah, they struggled with the Bengals.
So I just tweeted out. Because I've been, you know, kind of checking Antonio Brown's Instagram
is
here.
Is he up yet? What is
he's up. He's going. So I just tweeted out part of his new Instagram story. He's got a whole story going here. And apparently, this is what he says he's got going now.
All right.
He's posting his class schedule.
That's always good.
Good for him.
Central Michigan University Athletics.
Does he have any eligibility
left? He's taking a management course, Management 312.
Okay. Smart.
Cool. 300 level English.
A 300 English?
Oh, a 300 level religion.
Wow. Based on his emails, he's not going to do well in the
religion.
300.
Religion?
Well,
you know, he's a big believer in God.
He is. A 300 level sociology course.
He might want to go 100 English. You can't start with the 300 English.
Well, he might.
He hasn't been in school in 11 years.
Well, he might have already taken those 100. 200
but
levels.
Did he though?
I don't know.
Did
Central
he take
Michigan?
Him already?
I mean, he might have taken him.
I don't know what's going on. But good for him. He's going to better himself. He's going to go back to school.
Because he announced yesterday he's not playing in the NFL anymore.
No, he did say that. Now, I don't know if I necessarily believe that. Right.
You know what that means? You can't break up with me. I break up with you.
Yeah. He can't fire me. I quit.
Here's the idea. Nobody's going to give him a chance to play this year.
I think somebody will.
I disagree.
Not this year. I disagree with you on that one, Dale.
Yeah. I don't think he's going to get that chance this year.
Me and Rich have him before week 10.
Yeah, I know. I was listening to you guys yesterday.
Week 10, I think.
As I was driving home from Maine. Mm-hmm. Always listen to you guys on the show.
It's a good show.
I do think that the league has stayed out of it right now for a reason.
Yeah.
But the minute he is attempted to be signed by somebody, they're going to jump in and say, yeah, he's on the commissioner's exempt list. They don't put him on it now because he's not eligible to be on it right now.
Yeah, he's not on a team.
But what's the purpose of putting him on that list?
They don't want him playing this year.
But he wasn't on it when he was playing.
Well, not yet.
No. Well, yeah, that is true. But
he was going to be.
You believe that?
Yes, I absolutely do.
Well, you think he was going to be on the exempt list because of the emails? Or the text chain?
See, I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
I don't think so. I don't think that was enough to put him on the exempt list was that text message. Granted, it was a stupid move on his part, and we've kind of beat this horse into the ground. But that's not enough to warrant him being on the commission exempt list.
I think that there's going to be a team, and maybe it's the Chiefs with what they have, or maybe Tyreek Hill comes back and gets hurt again, or maybe it's the Ravens who think, hey, we're actually kind of close this year.
Right, we need that other guy.
I think it's going to be a contending-type team. Maybe it's Dallas. Maybe it's Seattle. I think there's a handful of teams out there that at least have a good quarterback and a good coach and are going to say, why not We bring him in, we take a chance, and maybe he sticks around. And that's why I think it'd be late in the year, because then you're narrowing it down, and you say, if he could play the final five games for us in our playoff run, that's it.
He didn't make it 12 days here. So.
No, I know he didn't. But that wasn't because the league took him away. The Patriots made that decision.
Right.
So
now,
if he was on another team, maybe they say, hey, Antonio, that was stupid, but go out there on Sunday.
I do think there's a feeling around the league, and Adam Schefter's already tweeted out, you know, a team that was interested now said, no thanks. You know, I'm not interested anymore. Mm. I do think there's a prevailing feeling around the league among at least some GMs and coaches. If he can't survive there,
right?
If the Patriots and that coach and that culture, he can't handle that,
right?
What the heck are we going to do with him?
I think there might be teams
that think that way, but there's also teams out there that probably think like, listen, you know, we looked at this, you know, we see the situation from afar. If he could, we can bring him in and. It could work here because we do things a little bit different than the Patriots.
I think there are teams that think it.
Right.
It won't work.
At this point in time,
Wiggy,
I'm like,
you just saw this guy light a match to $40 million.
Well, that's stupid. But I've also said this, and I'm sticking to it. That, and I think I texted my buddy yesterday. I'm like,
oh, yeah? Do we have a copy of that?
I said,
we get those?
Any chance the Pats could get him back after Edelman and Gordon got is there any way
back in the fold?
Let's just say after the tweets that got deleted yesterday.
Right. I was like, he's not coming back here.
A, they'll never have him back here. And no. B, for those people who asked this stupid question, I heard it asked this morning on the Greg Hill Show. If the Patriots were to win a Super Bowl, he ain't getting a ring from this organization.
What a stupid question!
But I am on the thing, and I did say this that you know, and it hurts my heart to say it that I am disappointed a little bit with the Patriots because I don't feel like you needed to release him based on the text messages that we know about. I think you still could have kept him
around. Just answer. And I heard you yesterday. I heard you Friday.
I just feel that way.
I want you to just answer one question
I understand
for me.
Why they did it, but
No. Just one question. If you answer this one, I'll never bother you about it again.
Well, we got 4 hours.
Why did he include her on the text chain?
Because
asking the question over again isn't going to make it easier.
No, I just want to make sure.
It's a classic stall technique.
I know. It's exactly what it is.
It's making sure you. The reason why he answered it because it's put her in the text message because he's an idiot. That's it.
And he was intimidating.
Do you want to
know? I don't buy the intimidation.
Okay, then why was she on there?
I just told you because he's an idiot. Because
he was also shaming her. He was shaming her.
Because he was trying to intimidate.
No.
Why do you have such a hard time just telling the truth about
this
guy?
Because I'm not buying intimidation. Shaming, I'll be. Listen, you.
Shaming, embarrassing,
100%. Shaming, embarrassing, that's what he was trying to do to her. That's why she was on the text message, because he's an idiot and because he was trying to shame her.
There's also the Keefspiracy that he didn't know she was on the text chain. That's out there. That one's out there. Yeah. Like it was an old, because you know how you go through your phone and there's like old, group texts. Right. So you have like,
do you reckon she was ever on a text chain with his lawyer and his two buddies?
You know what, Dale?
Yeah. No.
I bet she was. I bet she was. You know what, Antonio Brown? I bet his lawyer's on all of them. I bet he sees all of them.
Yeah. Or this is something that this could be another Keefspiracy that we haven't even thrown out there yet.
Oh, new one.
Do you think that the text chain was sent to him from somebody else?
No.
No. Nice try.
No?
I'm going to read it.
Wait a second.
No.
Is there no possibility?
No, just read it.
No, he started it.
He started it.
Okay, I didn't know who started it.
And he's the one that included the picture. No, what he did was sick, but I'm with you. I think other teams might have said, come on, Antonio, that's stupid.
So
he started,
we know for sure he started the text chain.
Yes,
we do.
Okay, I didn't know that.
Here's what else we know. It was the last straw for this organization. They looked at it. He was on their dime. He was in their locker room.
Right.
He was on their practice field when he sent it, and they said, that's it.
Because the other
he's
stuff,
gone.
The
now
other
I've heard this.
Said.
I've heard this stuff about. Well, Belichick didn't want to cut him. Kraft made him. Somebody reported on Friday. It was unanimous. They all discussed it, and it would have been. I assume Robert Kraft, Jonathan Kraft, Bill Belichick, and it was unanimous.
Well, I didn't hear that.
I didn't hear that.
Because we know it's not unanimous amongst the players.
Yeah.
Now, it's not up to them, but there's a lot of players that are upset that they made that decision. They wish that he was still on the team.
And like you said, Dale, when I look at it, I didn't find those that text message to be intimidating. I did find it to be shaming. I did find it to him making fun of her. I think that is just, you know, he's a moron.
What was he trying to say to her?
Well, he was just trying to say, like, oh, I don't think he was trying to say, like, necessarily. Well,
she's on the chain.
Right, so I think
so he, what's he trying to say to her?
Like, look how poor she is based on
what's
the
he trying to. Now, that's what he's trying to say to his buddies. What's he trying to say to her?
What do you mean, what's he trying to say to her? I think he's just
shaming her.
Yeah, he's shaming her. So it's like anybody, if you've shamed anybody before in your life, you're just trying to make them feel low.
Right.
You're trying to clown on
her. Right,
he's
taking a cheap shot at her.
You're trying to take it. You're clowning on people, and you're like making fun of her. Look at her kids. She's look how poor she is. Of course she needs money, right?
Yeah.
But when I look, like I said, based on that, so let me ask this.
Because, Dale, if you do think, and I know a lot of people think it's intimidation, how come she didn't go to,
I'll tell you who does think it.
Who?
These guys.
What about the
this organization
thinks. Yeah,
and
that's fine, and that's fine. But why didn't she go to the police then?
She never went to the police
before.
But
in this case, why didn't
right,
she?
Right, if she felt like it was
intimidating.
But why do you think?
Because she doesn't want him to get in legal trouble.
No. It's because she knows that, you can't. There's nothing in there that proves
she
intimidation.
She went to the NFL and she said, come
right.
on, really?
Because
can you just get him off my back
her
here?
Her and her lawyer knew they couldn't go to the police.
Right.
Because they would look at it and say, I'm sorry about that. That's happening to you, but there's no like smoking gun. There's no big word in there that says
right.
something like "let's do this to her"
right.
or "let's take her kids" or "let's do." There's nothing there. Now it's disgusting. Like it makes
right.
you sick well, when you read it.
I don't think we're disagreeing on him being an idiot. It's stupid for him. It's just like a low blow.
There.
Like we know the severity of adding the pitches in and what it means and what it looks like as far as him just trying to be a complete a-hole and make fun of this girl. And we all agree that he was an idiot for doing it. But like I said, and I'll stick to it, when I look at this situation here, okay, he was a moron for doing that. But I don't think that warrant.
Yeah,
because
if you play it out, if he was on the Chiefs right now
mm-hmm.
and knowing what they've put up with Tyreek Hill, and if Antonio Brown, let's say he played a few games for them and he was
right.
you know, fitting in nicely everywhere else, and they saw the text, do you think that they would cut him? Like, that might be where the Patriots draw the line and maybe another team doesn't.
Yeah, I don't know the answer,
and
obviously.
See, I think
right,
that's
right.
the difference.
This is his third team in a month.
Yeah.
Right, but we're not talking. Forget about the teams in the past.
You can't because they led to this.
No. But when you're talking about you have him now, and we've always known the Patriots have done this before, we don't care what you've done in the past. We care about what you do.
Wiggy, they didn't care about this stuff. He was here.
Right.
He had survived everything.
He was playing yesterday.
He was playing
right.
in the game
right.
until he sent the text
right.
that they said here with internally, he's trying to intimidate this woman.
Right. And
he's got to go.
And, but see, that's where I'm saying, and that in this situation, the text message, when I look at it, and that's why I say where I understand why the Patriots did it, but I don't agree with it because I would have said, okay, I would have sat him down and said, this is you're a moron. Don't do this. What are you doing? I mean, to the point where yelling and screaming at him, but I would have said.
And you think that would have helped?
I don't know if it would have helped. I'm not saying that
After the stuff you saw that he tweeted out yesterday?
Well, after that, see, but that to me is like.
Already cut him.
At that point, he's enraged now. So he's doing. It's like you get into an argument with your wife.
His
right?
agent and his lawyer obviously said,
but,
are you kidding
right,
me here? There is nothing you could say within these walls that would get him to stop that crap.
It's like when you get into an argument, your wife, your girlfriend, you say things in the moment in that time when you're upset that you go back and go, man, I regret saying some of those things.
He just can't help himself. We've seen it so many
right.
times.
And so when I look at those tweets from yesterday, to me, that's a guy who's unhinged. So prior to that.
So you want to keep him around?
Well, I would have said.
Yes, I would have kept him around.
Yeah, I don't feel like
those tweets wouldn't have happened if he was
right.
still on the team.
And I don't
so
feel like those text
those.
Messages were intimidating. I feel like they were dumb and stupid, and I don't feel like those particular text messages.
Yeah, I got it.
Warranted.
But that's why I also think he will be on another team this year because he is the best receiver in football.
Right.
If he was. Even say the 20th best, which is still really, really good, I think teams would say, maybe not worth the hassle. But if you're the best, or if you want to say Julio Jones, whatever,
right.
he's top 2-3, a team is going to say, you know what, why not?
Especially
let's
contender.
Let's throw a caution to the wind, and maybe he can keep it together. Now, the chances of him coming into a place
mm-hmm.
and surviving for 2 months does not seem very good based off of the recent track record.
Right.
If he can't survive here, I don't think he can survive anywhere
Okay, so
else.
Let me ask you this question, Dale. What if he sends that exact text chain like he did and said, her kids, she's broke, her kids are broke, but he doesn't put the picture in? Do you still feel the same way?
Well, yeah, but he made it worse. But yes, he's still trying to intimidate her.
So you would still say, even without the picture,
the
you're
the
like,
single
still
worst thing was the picture of the kids.
But I'm
and
saying,
I'll tell
if,
you,
the, if the pitcher's not in there, I'm saying
yes. He's still trying to. He's still trying to intimidate.
You would still say, okay, that would be caught.
Okay, but Wiggy, he did put the picture.
I know,
the
but
kids
we're playing
in.
The in the world if he didn't.
Yeah, but I don't think it really matters because I think it's sort of open to interpretation.
Okay,
I think you could say on the one hand, it's not that intimidating because they had no bait. They couldn't go to the cops because the cops wouldn't have done anything.
Right.
So that sort of tells you a lot right there.
Right.
But at the same time, they went to the NFL, and that is what cost him his job.
Right.
Right. So that's what happened.
And I think that the league, if a team says, "Hey, listen, we want to sign Antonio Brown," I think they're then going to find out. Nah, you're going to have to
hold off.
So the
one thing I wonder is if they come to their ruling with Brittany Taylor, or what if he even settles? I doubt he will, but if he does settle, all right, well, that one's not going to come back to bite you. There will always be another thing with Antonio Brown, but if at least that's the side.
Don't you think by now that Drew Rosenhaus and this lawyer have said to him, Antonio, we can make this go away.
His lawyer is, I don't know how much he's getting
his
paid.
His lawyer had to have quit by
that's
now.
That's what I'm thinking.
When he said what he said about the text chain, I didn't ask him to communicate with her, and I didn't respond. What he's saying is, this is not good.
But it was also crazy because he, with that, confirmed that it was Brown. Because you could always say, well, maybe
it
wasn't.
Was.
He confirmed it. You're like, all right, first of all, I would fire him then because you're doing a bad job as a lawyer because we could have speculated whether that was him or not, except the lawyer confirmed it.
All right, we've got a whole bunch of you guys on the line already. We've got a bunch of stuff we're going to do down here. As Rich said during the crossover, Daron Harmon will join us. James White will not. His wife gave birth to a son yesterday. He didn't play in yesterday's game. We think we'll talk to either Joe Tooney or Marcus Cannon,
nice.
Which is good. Because
the big fellas up front.
It'll
like
be interesting
that.
To
we
talk about the play of the offensive
week,
line.
We did. Lawrence Guy.
Real
big fella.
Which big fella on the other side.
And by the way, John Anderson, producer of the program, did look up the courses that Antonio Brown is taking.
Mm-hmm.
So the religion course is death and dying.
Okay.
Oh, man, that's dark. I mean, I know it's a part of it, but that's a dark.
The management course is intro to management.
Okay.
Shout out to intro to classes.
The English class is technical writing.
Okay. Well, he wants to get better at his grammar.
He might want to take that a few times.
And he probably has.
Yeah.
And the sociology course is racism and inequality.
Well, you know, especially for a black guy, that's a good course to take.
Well, I'm just saying, those are the courses that he's... And I'm sure he'll be doing all this work himself.
We live in a white world.
These are online courses, I'm sure this will be completely fair.
Where's he going? University of Phoenix? Where's he going?
It's at Central Michigan. They've got online courses.
Well, you take online courses everywhere. I might take a couple online courses for UGA.
Did you not graduate?
I did graduate.
You graduate
I might
Georgia?
Want a master's.
Oh, yeah, you might.
And I want
to about a doctorate? Why stop there? Dr. Wiggy.
So I'd have to go master's, then doctorate?
Yeah, it goes in that order.
Yeah.
How many masters?
Well, you can skip it if you get like an honorary doctorate.
Okay.
That's what you need to work on.
Well, Bill Cosby got one.
He got a bunch. Of course, they all got taken back as the years went on.
I love Dr. Wiggy.
617-779-7937. We're down here at Gillette Stadium. It's a Patriots Monday. We'll get to the calls with you guys in just a couple of minutes, but first we trend.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's Middays with Dale and Keith on the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
I think I'd be remiss if I didn't ask, what was the final straw with Antonio Brown?
Yeah, we're focused on the Jets today.
Thank you, Coach. Thank you.
So my first thought, when I heard that they were going to talk to Belichick pregame, my first thought was, he doesn't do that.
Yeah, talk pregame.
He doesn't do that.
Right.
And now, reportedly, he agreed that he would give them a minute pregame. But he wouldn't talk about Antonio Brown.
Ooh.
And now she has a
bad
choice.
Bad journalism right there.
She has a choice to make now.
Shady business.
That's
she
shady
can
business.
Either say, okay, we'll do it under those conditions, or she can say, look, I can't do it then.
I would say no. I would have said no. If I was her, and I don't know if this was 100%
was
her or if it was CBS or what it was, but if you're going to have Bill Belichick on, first of all, he's not going to give you anything about anything anyway, so I'm not sure why you'd want a one-minute interview with him.
Right.
You have 30 people on your pregame show, maybe let them talk, but that's another story for another time. And if you said zero Antonio Brown, then really what's the point? right? They just cut him Friday afternoon. Right. The game, you're interviewing him on Sunday morning. Wouldn't you want something? And you know the answer is probably going to be either A, we did what's best for the team, or B, we're focused on the Jets.
Well,
you
kind of know but the only way he agrees to give you that 1 minute interview before the game,
which I was shocked he did.
Yeah, right. Why'd he even do it?
The reason why he did it, because when they said with no Antonio Brown questions, they probably go, okay, coach, we're not going to ask about AB.
But let me ask you guys
setup. That's why.
What's
why he got the debts there?
What's the big deal if they ask him one question about Brown? Is it a big
have
deal?
Have you not seen any of his press conferences?
No, but I'm saying, why would he...
Where have you been for the last 11, 12 days?
No, but the classic, we're on to Cincinnati guy. and literally, right. I mean, before the game, that's all he's thinking
about. I understand what he's going to do, but I'm just asking, like, what's the big deal?
What's the big deal of what?
Yes. So he's willing to give
it's
you
game
a minute.
Day.
Okay. And what if he says, we're going to do what's best. We did what's best for the team, or I'm focused on these guys. Even his answer that he gave her... is fine. Nobody's responding to the answer. It's the death stare after. That's what everybody's
on the Jets. Well,
so that, yeah, thank you.
You know why they got the death stare is because it was shady business. They set them up. That's the only way. That's the reason why you give somebody the debts there, right? If somebody calls me or calls you or calls you, Dale, and says, "Hey, we like to do a quick interview, real quick," and you say, "But hey, I don't want you talking about this situation here." And they go, okay, we're not going to mention anything about whatever the situation.
Right, and they have the choice to say, well, look, we have to ask you.
Right.
And okay, then we don't.
Then we don't. But if they say, okay, we're not going to ask you at all, we're just going to talk this. And then the first question they ask you is about this.
Well, it was the last question.
Because you wanted to get a couple
in
there.
She knew that there was not going to be any questions after
that.
Do you
guys know what the first few questions were? Of course not, because nobody cares.
Right,
nobody cares about those.
I thought that was the only question.
Yeah, right, exactly. Okay. That's all anybody would care about.
Well, so that was, you know, whatever.
So she had to ask him that. But I'm just wondering. Yeah, he's so
the death stare comes because he was set up, and that
his thought is, we had an agreement.
Right,
you guys went back on the agreement. Right. Really,
but my point is,
that's
so
exactly
why
what it
even,
was.
So let's say it gets set up this way: CBS goes to Bill, or they go to Stacey James, or whoever, and they say, "Hey, can we talk to Bill for a minute? For a minute,
right?"
And he says, yes, but no Antonio Brown. Like, God forbid an Antonio Brown question gets
no
in there.
Yes, no Antonio Brown.
Because what, you don't think Belichick's going to know what to do? Well, he stormed off the press conference. Well, maybe he'd storm off this
interview,
too. Okay,
so yes, but no Antonio Brown questions. And
but
then,
you brought him in here, and you then, got rid of him. You can't then, ask and then, answer one question about it? That's insane.
But then CBS then goes, okay, we won't ask anything about Antonio Brown, and one of the questions is about Antonio Brown. That's a setup.
So, yeah, he's annoyed by that. But I'm just saying, take it one step prior to the interview.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you have to demand no questions on it? Because it wasn't like she was going to follow up
look,
and grill him.
He also doesn't have to do it, which he almost never does. So what he's saying is, all right, fine. I'll give you a minute, but this is the parameter.
Neither of you have answered the question. Why would it be so? Why can't he
because
accept
he
the question about it?
Because he has turned the page.
Right.
Literally.
And it's game day.
And if he talks about Antonio Brown, then he's saying to his players, I mean,
Tom Brady talked about him.
He never mentioned his name.
Well, he talked about him.
We think that's what he was talking about.
The question was about Antonio Brown,
but
so I assume
this,
that was about him.
Right? Like you said, Dale, he never mentioned his name. And Tom Brady does his interview with Greg Hill and says just a little bit of something and doesn't mention his name. And it's all over the place.
So
imagine if Bill Belichick says something prior to the game.
So if Belichick says, we did what's best for the team, they would have lost to the Jets.
No. It's not about them losing to the Jets.
Well, then what's the harm?
It's just about it's about you. It's about him saying, I don't want to talk about Antonio Brown, and then you agreeing to that, and then you asking him a question.
I could care less about that part of it. I'm saying beforehand, why is it so important to him to make sure there's no Antonio Brown questions?
Because
like,
oh,
my God, we say his name.
But we know that's how he works, right? And you think he's going to work any differently on a Wednesday?
He doesn't talk about the game they played last week, let alone the guy they cut.
And imagine he's not talking about Antonio Brown on a Wednesday. You really think he's going to talk about Antonio Brown on a Sunday, 3 hours before a game?
Yeah, it's Voldemort. I really don't understand it.
They could have asked him about LT on a Sunday, 3 hours before the game. He's not talking about Antonio Brown. Like, what do you think if he's not talking
about... But why, though? You're not answering why.
Because he doesn't want to talk.
He
he's
feels
gone.
Like it's a distraction that they've turned the page.
It's a distraction.
So
he
wouldn't
talk
about him
about
when
he's
on the team. He wouldn't talk about him when he's off the team.
He talked about him when he was on the team. He said, we are waiting...
He worked hard.
Waiting for the league to make their decision or any information we get from the league, we'll let you know.
Yeah.
But every time they asked him about Antonio Brown, he said, most of the time, he talked about the Jets... He talked about the Dolphins.
Yeah,
and
he
then
did.
And then he said, here's my statement on Antonio Brown. So he right. gave you a statement about it. And then after that, as soon as he finished with that statement,
he goes,
my next thing is, I'm not taking any Antonio Brown questions.
So he brings in the biggest distraction probably in the history of the team.
Right.
Then they cut him. He cut him, whether it was a Kraft decision or not. It's we all assume Belichick has all the roster control.
Right.
So he cuts him. And he doesn't have to say two words about it? Like, come on. Like, let's hear something about it.
Anything else on Miami?
they put out a statement.
It wasn't a Belichick statement.
Well, it was for the 11 days, whatever it might
have
been.
Trust me, it came out with his approval.
Yeah.
Nothing comes out of here without him saying, okay, put that out.
I mean, I guess I just don't see the point. Like, I just don't know why it has to be so secretive. Like,
well, let's go back to CBS's perspective, okay? If, in fact, the reporting is true.
Mm-hmm.
If the agreement was this is what I'll do and these are the conditions, they can easily say, well, Bill, we have to ask you about it, and he just says, no, well, fine, right, we're not going to do it. If they did that, if they said, okay, you got a deal, and then they did what Dana Jacobson did, I can see why he got mad.
And that's probably what they did.
No, and that part of it, I could see that side because. Chances are there are going to be other opportunities to interview Belichick.
Right.
And now maybe those opportunities
are gone. I don't think he'll ever do another pregame hit ever.
Right.
But he definitely won't with CBS.
But don't you think, like, if you had to, knowing Bill Belichick and knowing how he kind of is as a coach and how he is during his press conferences, don't you think that they maybe did exactly what Dale said? Hey, we want to ask about Antonio Brown. He then says no Antonio Brown questions. Don't you think
anytime there's an interview and before the interview starts, the one person that's being interviewed says, don't ask me about this, this, and this.
Oh, okay, then don't do it. Then don't do it.
Then don't do it.
Exactly.
But don't you think the next thing that they said to him, which made him do it, which makes most people do it, is when they go, okay, we won't ask you about that.
Right.
But we know in this world that we work in this business we're not going
to
ask you about that.
And then that's bad business. I'm not saying that's not bad business.
And hit him with a few softball questions and drop it in there.
But Belichick and Greg Popovich are very similar in the fact that when they do these quick little interviews, they give you nothing. And I think they're laughing on the inside. They think it's great. So the fact that he would even have to start any kind of sit-down interview or stand up there and just say, well, one topic is off limits. Like, it's sports, for God's sakes. We're talking about a football player you just cut. You can't have two words about a football player you just cut. You're so afraid to talk about that?
The other question I have is, again, if the reporting is accurate, and I'm going to stress that, if that's true, if that's what happened, was it a producer who said to her, okay, you got to ask him now?
Could be.
Or did she say, as she did, I'd be remiss if I didn't ask, did she feel, I'll ask this?
Yeah.
And in other words, did she go rogue, or was it a producer in her ear saying, I don't care what we said, you got to ask him now?
Yeah, it's a tough spot. I don't know the answer. I have no idea if Dana did that on her own or what.
I would say it would be a producer that would get in her ear, because why would she want to go rogue knowing that she could
The producer, I mean, if the company that you work for and who's paying you says, hey, you need to do this, you're in a tough spot.
Oh, no, if the producer's telling her,
right,
she's in an impossible position.
I think maybe the producer's in her is the one who said it, because going rogue, all that does is put you on an island, right, by yourself.
And not only have you got the Patriots mad at you, now you've got your employer mad at you.
Right, but
So why would you do that?
Right,
I wouldn't if I were her.
So yeah, there's no need to go rogue, and especially, you know.
That could have been like a team thing, because I'm sure Dana and Bill weren't saying, hey, can I interview you? And let's do this. It's different people that they're talking to and saying, hey, let's set this up at this time and in this location, and let's get these. It'll be 60 seconds, and then the Patriots side says no AB, and they're like, yeah, wink.
And I don't know who the CBS like reporters are, but I do know she's not a top of the food chain.
Well,
right?
No, this crew here yesterday was not top of the food chain. They were not the number one crew. I don't even think they're the number two.
But
crew.
She has like other shows. Right, and stuff. But, right. No,
I guess so. The only point I'm saying
not
is
a knock on her when I say that. By the way, that the crews are ranked.
Right.
This was not Romo and.
But all I'm saying is, like, sometimes when somebody goes rogue, they're like a Stephen A. Smith. They got enough juice and power that even if their employee gets mad at them, the employee's going to be like, okay.
Yeah, you thought that was best, so we trust your judgment.
Where her, I don't think she's on top of the food chain, where she can look and go, even though my employer might be mad at me, I got enough juice that I can sit down with them and say, here's why I did it, and they'll ultimately back me. So I think it came from the producer saying, let's do this, and she probably said, are you
sure? But that's also weird. If that story is true, that they put in the caveat, hey, you can't ask about this, because, Dale, we interviewed Belichick for a few years. OMF does it now. And even when there were some crazy topics going on, we never once were told you can't talk about blank, right? Ever.
I can't remember a time.
So I don't know if that's if that something story that was, is even true. I don't even know if they would have done that.
And, well, and maybe, I do think what made it different in that regard is he's talking before a game, which he never does anyway, right. And all he's going to talk about is the game. By the way, he wouldn't have talked about Troy Brown. He wouldn't have talked about Robert Kraft. He wouldn't have talked about, you know, Andre Tippett.
Right.
He wouldn't talk about anything. Except the game.
That's why I'm curious why he, and even about the game, he'd be very vague about
it. Oh, absolutely.
So that's why I don't even know why he would agree to do it.
Well, I would,
because didn't he have to know that there was going to be a Brown question?
I would think
is why if the reports are true, yes, he knew, and they said, if that's what you want to do, I don't want
to
do it.
All right, so now you're trusting them to be, you know.
To be honest, right? You're trusting them to be honest because you know if somebody, like you said, Bill has been doing this for a long time, when he was on with you guys or he's on with OMF, he's kind of obligated to, right? He has to do that. That's part of his contract. Right. Here,
he didn't have to do that.
He didn't have to do it, so he's probably feeling like, if he did agree to it and he knows that there's all this Antonio Brown cloud over him, he probably got, hey, we're not going to ask you anything about AB.
All right, here's the schedule. Daron Harmon will join us at 11:30. We will talk with a member of the offensive line, either Marcus Cannon, Joe Tooney, or Shaq Mason.
All right.
After that, we don't know the exact time yet.
What about Newhouse or Karras?
I only got those
Illuminor.
Three. I only got those.
Cunningham?
You're hoping it's Illuminor.
Let's
so you
bring
can do
them
the
all
whole
in.
Hand thing.
Bring all the guys in
here. Illuminor.
Don't they
so
do stuff as a unit anyways?
Just bring the whole group in here.
Yes.
Might be a little wordy, but we could give it a whirl.
Well, you have one guy.
In the studio.
Well,
you have one guy that does most of the talking.
Yeah. All right, we'll get to the calls with you guys coming up next. 617-779-7937. We're at Gillette on a Patriots Monday, Sports Radio WEEI.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Patriots just cut Antonio Brown.
Oh, I finally had to push the drop button on my fantasy team. Sorry.
But I bet if it was the quarterback, he'll still be playing till they find evidence.
If he can't play for Bill Belichick, he can't play for anybody in the league. Trust me, he's done.
I do think he will play again. I really, really do. Once the dust settles on everything.
We'll see what happens going forward, but a grievance is expected.
He is just burning bridges everywhere he goes.
They are not expected to pay him, so expect a legal battle for that guaranteed money.
And that legal battle may begin today. Tom E. Curran reported last night that the Patriots had not cut a check for the $5 million, the first half of the signing bonus, nor do they plan to, and it's due today. It's expected that the Players Association, on behalf of Antonio Brown, will file a grievance today, and the legal battle will begin. I mean, here's the deal, and you know, I know Antonio Brown, compared to us guys and most people in the world, has a whole lot of money. He ain't got nothing compared to the guy that he's about to fight,
right.
who will require Antonio Brown to spend hundreds of thousands of dollars in legal fees.
Well, why would it be that? Why wouldn't the players?
Because I think he's. Well, I don't think they're going to maintain. They're not going to undertake the legal fees for this guy. He's going to have to pay the lawyers, and they're going to grieve it on his behalf.
Okay.
But this is going to court.
You think Robert Kraft after yesterday isn't going to take this guy to the wall?
But what's Robert Kraft's case that he doesn't have to pay him?
Oh, they've got, and there's been a lot of legal analysis. Michael McCann has written about it. Daniel Wallach has written about it.
Right.
McCann thinks that Article 4 does allow them to at least consider the possibility of withholding his money. Wallach doesn't think they can. He says there's conflicting CBA.
Yeah, reading into it, it's not like he stopped showing up to practice.
Right.
It's not like he didn't do any of that stuff. It's not like he's in prison, which is also one of the...
Right.
Well,
there's there's a criminal charge,
part of it. So like all of that stuff, he should get paid.
Right. That's what I said.
And I think he's going to have to get paid. And then even if you want to say, oh, well, he took a shot yesterday. Well, first of all, I don't know how much of a shot it was.
Right.
And he wasn't on the team.
Right.
He wasn't on the team when that happened.
Yeah, Tommy Karam made a good point about that. It wasn't disparaging about your own or your teammates and you know, while you were on the team.
He was only here for 11 days.
And they made it sound like in the statement that for the 11 days he did everything right.
Right.
And it was like they did. So you look at it like, okay, because you got to be thinking, all right, you cut me. Well, all right, I understand. You're probably cutting me because of this situation here. But guess what? You have to pay me.
You got to pay me. He got $10 million. Well, it was a $9 million signing bonus. And I think 10 of it was guaranteed, right? Because it was like a $1 million base salary or whatever it was. I think he's entitled to that. Now, I think
he's ultimately going to get it.
I do too.
I just think Robert Kraft's going to make him fight for it.
He might fight for it.
Yeah.
And ultimately, it doesn't really matter, like, to me, either.
I don't care about Robert Kraft's money either.
Or Brown's. I don't care about Brown's money or Kraft's money. So either, like, that $9, $10 million is going to still be Kraft's or it's going to go to Antonio Brown. I don't really care. It doesn't really matter
to me, but it matters to me in
players. You mean, like big picture
players?
Right, like
big picture. As a former player, like, So an owner now, if they want to try to maybe get out of paying you, they can...
Yeah, and like this could be a bigger picture issue going forward.
For the CBA.
And I think, you know, we talked about this on NFL Sunday yesterday, that players' rights and what's really guaranteed and what isn't and all their contracts, that needs to be fought for by the players. But if Antonio Brown is sort of the face of that, it's not the best.
Well, it's not
they need other guys to sort of...
It's not that he's the face. He's just one of the cases that shows, hey, what potentially could happen to you, the next guy, if there's a situation where an owner might want to say, we don't want to pay him his money.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Exactly.
The argument that they're going to have to make is that the signing bonus has already been earned. Because the CBA says specifically, you can't forfeit money that's already been earned. In other words, his game check that he already got.
They can't take that back.
They can't take it away.
Yeah.
Now, the question is the signing bonus, because they hadn't...
You get your next portion.
I got you.
All right, let's talk to New England Patriots offensive lineman Marcus Cannon. Marcus is brought to you by Kaplansky Insurance and Shaw's, the official supermarket of the New England Patriots, and by Feldman Land Surveyors. Right from the ground up. Good morning, Marcus. How are you?
Good morning. Doing good. I'm good.
Always good to be 3-0, right?
Oh, it is. It's a great feeling.
Let's talk about the offensive line for a minute. You guys have had some turmoil, not internally, but just guys out of the lineup, starting with your center, who's now done for the year. You've missed a game. How hard has it been to get any sort of cohesion within the offensive line with all the changes you've had to have?
You know, the guys have done a great job of, you know, just coming to work and, you know, filling in where they could fill in. You know, we got a great group of guys. You know, everybody comes out there every day and works hard, and you know that's what you want. You know, all we do, we just come out and try to work hard as best we can. You know, we don't know what's going to happen. We don't never know when anybody's going to go down. But you know, the best thing we can do is be ready to go in, and you know, that's how it is.
How tough is that for guys who weren't in camp with you? You know, so many of them right before the season starts get thrown in there. They have to learn the playbook, how you guys play together and all that stuff. How big of a challenge is that?
I'm pretty sure it's pretty big for them, but you know, all the guys that have come in have, you know, they've, you know, put their head down and worked as hard as they can, you know, to get on the same page and, you know, to, you know, help the team.
Talk about Dante Scarnecchia, a guy who's been around forever, and when you talk about bringing in new players, and it's always about coaches getting you prepared to play the game. Talk about the job that Dante does, not just with guys who have been around here forever, but, you know, trying to bring guys up to speed and making sure guys are prepared for every single game.
You know, Coach Scarnecchia, you know, Scar, he's great. You know, we we know that if we listen to him, we're going to be fine. And, you know, that's how, you know, that's how everybody takes it when they come in. You know, they listen to everything they say, take heed of everything he says. And, you know, he's a great coach. And, you know, we all love him. And, right. You know, we'll follow him in the battle any day.
I've talked to a lot of former offensive linemen here, and they all say the same thing about Dante. And I've known him for a long time. He's not that big and imposing. But he's in that room with all you guys who are all a lot bigger than him, and he's an intimidating guy.
Yeah, you're correct. Yeah, he likes a job done a certain way, and if it's not done that way, you're going to know it. He's a great coach. He's one of the greatest coaches I've ever had, and, you know, we all know that. We all know he wants it a certain way, and, you know, guys just keep coming every day and trying to get it as perfect and try to get it as best as we can to his standard.
And you played at TCU with Marshall Newhouse. So what was that like when you found out he was coming over here?
Oh, it was exciting. I remember seeing him when he came in for his physical that day. And it was just a surprise. You know, I seen him walk in. And I thought I was seeing, seeing things. But, you know, it was awesome. You know, I played 4 years with Marshall. And, you know, we came in together in June 6, 2006. We all came in at TCU and met each other, and, you know, of course I redshirted, he didn't, and, you know, he's got a year ahead of me, but, you know, it's great, you know, because it's always great when, you know, you have a guy that you spent 4 years with before in college come back, and, you know, it's just been amazing.
And you just talked about what Dante means and the pressure of doing it his way. Talk about a little bit of, like, you have that pressure from Scott Ekia, right? And then you also have the pressure of pass blocking for the greatest quarterback to ever play the game. Talk about how much pressure it is, not just from the coaching standpoint, but to know that the guy behind you is arguably the greatest quarterback to ever play the game. And it's like, man, we want to make sure we kind of keep him as upright as possible every single game, every single week.
I feel like that's just an extra thing that helps, you know, make us want to be the best that we can. Because, you know, everybody knows it's Tom back there.
Right.
But, you know, everybody knows how that is. And, you know, you just want to do better. You want to do better to make sure that, you know, he's happy. You want to make sure he's clean. You want to make sure he's not getting his jersey dirty.
Right.
And, you know, we take pride in trying to make sure that no one touches him.
Right.
And, you know, that everybody's always trying to get him, so it makes it harder each week. But, you know, that just what makes you keep trying and working harder to make sure you're perfecting your technique and getting everything right.
Have you guys been a little disappointed with how you've run the football so far this year?
There's always room for improvement, and, you know, we just have to, you know, watch the film and see what it looks like, and then, you know, come out to practice and, you know, swing harder than we were swinging before, and, you know, work on everything and, you know, try to get better every day.
He was only here 11 days, but what kind of teammate was Antonio Brown?
All my teammates are great. I like everybody in the locker room. You know, anybody they put in the locker room, we're pleased with, and, you know, we try to make them feel at home. And, you know, whether it's Marshall or anybody else or any other guys that come in, and, you know, we all just try to be great teammates.
Now, you talk about the running game, and you talk about improving every single week and trying to get better in the running game. What are some of the things that maybe you guys as a unit want to look to do better in? I know there's always a lot of different areas, but do you feel like there's one specific area in the run game that you think you might need to do a little bit better job of, or is there something that you want to continue to build off of?
You know, there's not one, you know, thing that I can just tell you. You know,
right.
It's just we got to go out to practice, and, you know, we got to, you know, practice execution. You know, we got to just keep trying to do it better and better in practice. You know, keep trying to lift that bar, raise it up as high as we can. And, you know, that's it. We just got to keep practicing and working hard, and, you know, it'll come.
Appreciate you subbing for your teammate, James White, who had a bigger day yesterday than a football game, huh?
Yes, congrats to James. You know,
congratulations to them. It's great to have you join us today. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Marcus Cannon joining us here on Sports Radio WEEI.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.